All right, all right. Just watching on the wall. This is Watchman on the Wall, Elder G Bazaar out of Warren, Ohio, and Tim Jackson down there in Dallas, Texas, I think he is. We are on the line. We're here to talk about what? We're here to talk about the Watchman on the Wall. We're watching and looking and hoping and expecting the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our job is to tell the world, tell everybody as possibly that we are getting ready for the extra phenomenon that's getting ready to happen on this planet. Jesus Christ actually identically is coming back again to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Amen. He's coming back to get a holy church, a separated church from the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So if you out there and you got your mind and your heart and your soul fixed on this old world, amen. The only thing I'm concerned about in this world right today is souls of men. Souls of men. That's what I want to see, men come to Christ. Because without coming to Christ, you're going to be in a bad condition after a while. You talking about bad news now. Ain't nothing coming. Nothing coming that already came. But when it's come this time, it's going to be the final showdown. It's going to be the showdown between God and Satan and the church. And Lucifer, there's a showdown coming in there. And the world today believe that the devil is winning. But I'm here to tell you he's losing. He lost ever since he fell from heaven. And now he's trying to take over the earth. He's trying to destroy those that don't, those that trust in Jesus Christ. He's trying to destroy those. But those that's working for him, he wants to destroy them. But as long as you're working for him, he's your friend. But there's a day coming called separating time. So right now, before we get into any subject, anything, we want Brother Tim to come on with prayer. Then he's going to turn it over back to me, and then we're going to get on the subject what we're going to talk about this evening. Amen. It's hot in the kitchen now. The Holy Ghost is on fire. I'm on fire. I know Brother Tim on fire. Amen. To tell you the good news, there's salvation. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the only name where man can receive salvation. And that's what we're going to talk about, salvation, the return of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the tribulation period, the temple building, and we're talking about the Jews. We're going to talk about the duty of the church, and if the church is going to go through the rapture, is they going to escape the rapture? We're going to get on it. So turn your radio up, turn your internet up. Go tell your friends, amen, there's no way out. There's no way out. Coronavirus is a plague for it compared to what's coming up in the book of Revelation. So at this time, amen. Brother Tim, we're going to get back with it.
Amen, Doctor. Amen. I appreciate you for having me once again. Amen. Watchman on the Wall, Elder Pastor Bazaar. Amen. I call him Elder Pastor. Amen. Because God has blessed him with tremendous spiritual wisdom and knowledge of his holy word. And I thank him for having me on to be on here with him to share with you, amen, the study of eschatology, which is the things, the book of Revelation, amen, the book of Daniel talks about it, amen. There's several books in the Bible that deal with it, amen. So we're going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. I'm going to turn it back over to the brother so he can go ahead and get started, amen. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for our life, soul, health, and strength. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon the church, amen. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Most of all, we thank you for your son and his ultimate sacrifice to redeem man back to the Heavenly Father. We thank you for restoring us and renewing our minds, the Heavenly Father. We thank you, and we pray for this holy word that will go forward, that we will reach many listeners, and that the station will continue to grow. We are thankful for Chaos Talk Radio for this platform. We thank you for the teams that are on during the week. Again, we bless and praise your holy name. We just come praying that the Holy Spirit comes in and just bless the people, bless the listeners, amen, and that you just speak amen to us, amen, amen.
Amen, 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 again, amen, again. I was a little depressed this afternoon, early this morning, but I feel all right now. I want to let the people know out there, sometimes you get it's kind of burden on me because I'm really burdened for souls. I'm really hoping
that's right.
that great brother Tim can affect somebody's life to turn to Christ. Because if you don't turn to Christ, you're going to be in a condition. It's going to take the will of God and take the Spirit of God to bring you out of the tribulation. Because really the only ones that are going to be in the rapture is those that have been born again. I want to give you another warning on that. You must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ before you can leave this earth. If you're not saved, you won't leave. And if you don't leave, then you're going to have to face the ultimate, the ultimate, the ultimate. This is no toy. This is no joke. I'm telling you, I'm not sitting in no baby pen playing with rattlers. I'm talking the Word of God. The word of God don't back up on nobody. Amen. The Word of God is the most beautiful thing in the world, amen, that a man can receive to know that he can be redeemed from the depths of hell. Amen. Jesus Christ came basically. Now, here's what he came for. He came basically to save you from sin so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Basically, that's what he came for. He didn't come for nothing else but to save man's soul from the damnations of hell. Now, when you get saved, a lot of people say, well, when you get saved, you got to work. Yes, you got to work. You got to work out your own soul salvation. But before works can ever take its effect, you must be born again. So I'm saying, the cross is the only way that a man can receive the love of God in his heart. And if you know Jesus Christ, you know that you have passed from death to life because you love the brethren, What brother? Every nationality, every people, every tongue, every language, you love the whole world. Why? Because the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means whoever will come to him can have eternal life and never perish. You don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. And I tell you, I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how ugly you are. I don't care how mean you are. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ can save you. He can save your soul from the lake of fire. Now, you don't hear this on the pulpit no more. You don't hear this in churches. You don't hear this in churches today because preachers are not preaching salvation. And if you're preaching salvation, you got to preach about hell because salvation is the only way that can deliver you from hell. And so people today are trying to exclude hell. The preachers are getting behind the pulpit and saying a long, dragged-out sermon, saying amen and all this year, and they do a little shout. And then they do a little tongue talking, and I ain't got nothing against tongue, but they tell me the Bible said if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar, huh? And the truth is not in it. It is if a man speak in tongues, if he don't speak in tongues, he don't know God, because tongues is for a sign for those that don't believe. Tongues was for a sign for the early church and the latter church, because the gospel got to be preached out to all languages, and so the Holy Ghost was the agent, amen, to get the a language interpreted on the day of Pentecost, and in the last days it's going to use it again, because everybody on this planet, 25,000 miles in circumference, spinning at 17.4 miles a second, it goes down every 6 or 7 hours, 12 hours, it goes down, the sun goes down, comes up again. It's been doing that for 6,000 years and ain't missed a beat. The only time the earth stopped was when Joshua called out to the Lord and said, I can't fight this battle. I can't fight it. I don't know the area. I don't know the area. So, Lord, you're going to have to hold the sun and the moon.
Amen.
So I can fight this battle. You know what God did? He put the world in neutral. Good God Almighty. He threw it in neutral. Right. Woo! And the sun refused to go down. And the moon didn't go down. And Joshua fought the battle. And he won. And the reason he won, because he was calling on Elohim. He was calling on the great I Am. He was calling on the name of Jesus. Jesus' name wasn't mentioned in the Old Testament, but his name was there because he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He won't change. He ain't changing for me. He ain't changing for Brother Jackson. He ain't changing for nobody. He's the same God yesterday and forever. So I want to let you know this evening, we are hot on fire. Man, I'm burning up. They might have to call the fire department because the Holy Ghost, man, will set you on fire. And I'm on fire to let you know that we are definitely in the last days. This is the trumpet month. This is the shofar month. This is the Jewish month where they blow the shofar. This is the month of the rapture. Oh, my God. I didn't say nothing about the day or time. I didn't mention that. But this is the rapture month. According to the Jewish teaching, this is the rapture month. This is the month that the shofars will be blown. And if it blow and the rapture don't occur, that means next September. Woo! God is a God of order. God.
Amen.
People confused today. They don't know. They don't know nothing about Jewish history and Jewish tradition and Jewish teaching that God taught the Jews to know what time and season that he's about to come. And that ain't all that's going to happen. Amen. We're going to talk about the temple. Amen. That's getting ready to be built. We're going to find out what did it start
right.
it. We're going to show you exactly in the Word of God where the first temple was formulated by Moses up in the Mount Sinai. God gave him a measurement. He gave him a measurement. He said, when you get back down off the Mount Sinai, I want you to go down in the Sinai Desert, and I want you to set up some tents. I want you to set up the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to build an Ark of the Covenant and put the Ten Tablets in it, and I'm going to use that as a temporary temple until Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem on top of Mount Moriah. And now that temple was destroyed during the Babylonian captivity, and it was leveled to the ground until Herod built the second temple. The second temple was built during the time that Jesus Christ came, because when Jesus Christ came, that same temple that Herod rebuilt it and made it larger was the one that Jesus drove out the money changers and the ones that were doing all kinds of games and playing bingo and whatever they were doing, and he drove them out of that temple and took them. My Father's house is not a house of den and thieves and crooks. He said, my Father's house is a place of prayer. A place that you pray, a place that you worship my name, a place that you honor my name, a place that when you come in the presence of God, you come in with reverence, you come in with respect. And let me tell you something, some of these churches, which we're living in now, people coming in any kind of old way. They come in cussing, they come in drinking, they come in smoking, they come in doing everything and talking about they're going to heaven. But let me tell you something, you must be born again. Whether you've got these habits or not, you must be born again. And there's a lot of people confessing that they know Jesus Christ and they're hypocrites. Woo, I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. I'm nothing but a plain nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And that name is above every name, Jesus Christ. And here, I'm going to give it over to Tim, but when Brother Tim come back, maybe he can hit on the little temple a little bit. And back in Genesis, it's where the temple was instituted, but they didn't have, it wasn't made out of a stone. It was made out of tents. They had tents, and they was camped around in Mount Sinai. And they had the Ark of the Covenant in the Holies of Holies. And this Ark of the Covenant is where God dwells in the Ark of the Covenant, because a pillar of fire would be whirling around in the camp. And they did that for about 40 years in the camp until they got up into the land flowing with milk and honey. But let me tell you something. The Jews have to have a temple. They got to have a temple. And the third temple is getting ready to be making preparation now to build the third temple. We might be 6 months away. We might be a year away. But they're planning to build the third temple, and they got all the material. So what I'm telling you now, when they start building that temple, when they start talking about it more and more as we go into the end of the year, good God Almighty, that's telling me something. They're telling me that the Antichrist is alive. They're telling me the Antichrist is getting ready to go in. They're telling me that the rapture of the church is getting ready to occur. It's telling me that Russia is getting ready to attack Israel. They tell me that a third world war is going to start up pretty soon, and folks walking around here like ain't nothing going to happen. I'm telling you, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, dogs, and cats, you better wake up and quit smelling the roses and quit tiptoeing the food. Because Jesus Christ is actually going to wrap the church in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Brother Tim, talk to me, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Doctor, amen. Amen, brother. Good word. Amen. I like what you said, brother, when you said the world has no clue of what's going on because the churches are not talking about it. I guarantee over 95% of the pastors right now are not talking about it because they don't study it. They don't know anything about it. Amen. The church, they're just walking blind. Amen. So many people in the church are lost. Amen. So many people are lost. People are just enjoying life. They're just going on like this virus. Amen. This is a dress rehearsal for the great tribulation. Amen. Let me say it again. This is a dress rehearsal for the great tribulation. Amen. Most people who attend church don't even know what the great tribulation is. Amen. They may have heard it once or twice in their life. Amen. If they have heard it, most pastors don't even talk about it. They don't even teach on it. And, brother, you hit the nail on the head with everything that you just said. Amen. The world has no clue. People in the church, you know the world has no clue, but the church, the people who attend church week in and week out have not had a clue, amen, over the years what's about to hit this planet. Amen.
Amen.
And just like the doctor said, amen, if your name ain't found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you don't have salvation, you will be here to go through the 7-year great tribulation.
Yes, sir,
it is going to be the worst time in the past 6,000 years since Adam and Eve has been on this planet, since man has been on this planet. It's going to be the worst time to be in existence on this planet. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into that today. But what I want to deal with first, amen, as the brother said, we're going to talk about a little bit of salvation before we move forward. Because, amen, people will talk about, you know, God. Even when you go to church, you attend church, but nobody talks about what you must do to be saved. How do you miss the great tribulation? Amen. How do you get caught up in the great by and by? When Christ comes, he opened up that sky, and the archangel is going to shout, and them horns are going to blow, and the dead in Christ, all them graves are going to open up, and those souls are going to go to heaven with Christ, and we're going to be with him forevermore. Amen. It's going to be a great and glorious day for those of us that have salvation, amen. We are waiting for Christ to return. Christ said to himself over in Matthew, the 25th chapter, he said we are to watch, and I guarantee you the church ain't been watching as long as I've been alive, amen. Cause my dad was the only pastor I heard, brother, amen, other than you, in your traditional church that preached about Revelation, amen. Most pastors not even warning their churches. They're so busy talking about giving motivational speeches and using quoting Bible scriptures. They're so busy talking about, you know, how much money you can have, how blessed you'll be if you sow in $1,000. Amen. That ain't got nothing to do with your soul salvation. Amen. We are here to show you, amen, how you can receive salvation and how you can miss this great tribulation. Amen. Because it is soon to come. Amen. And all this stuff is going on around us. And I said this last year when this pandemic hit. I said, this is a dress rehearsal, and this is a distraction for what's about to hit the planet. And what gets me, brother, is that the world is just nonchalant. They are going on like nothing is happening. People are talking about businesses. People are talking about making money. People are talking about getting an education, but they have no clue but what's about to hit this planet. It's about to go down, doctor. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this scripture. I want you to Acts the 16th chapter. I want to look at verses. Amen. Acts the 16th chapter, verse 30 and 31. Amen. And this is when Paul cried with a loud voice. Amen. When he told the guard, he said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Amen. You kind of know the story behind that. Amen. And how the gate came off of the prison. Amen. And which they were in. But I just want to read verses 30 and 31. It's an awesome story that starts in Acts the 16th chapter, verses 16 down to verse 31. Amen. Awesome, awesome story. But I want to read this verse real quick, verse 30 and 31. It says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I said this yesterday on the show. For some people, it don't take much to become saved. It don't take much to receive salvation. If they see, amen, the miracle.
Amen.
If they see something happen, amen, they want to know what must they do to be saved. That's all it takes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It don't take people to have to go through so many incidents in their lives, amen, to get it. Amen. I said I'm one of those types of people, amen. It don't take much, amen. I just need one warning from God, amen. That's all I needed, brother. And I was on board, amen. But watch what Paul said. And he said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house.
Uh-huh.
Amen. That's all it takes. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Amen. But so many churches and pastors, because they don't study and read the Bible, they're out here teaching people that basically you have to live an almost perfect life to receive salvation, and that's not
true. Come on now.
The Bible says that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. The Bible says confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, amen. I gave an example, amen, of this brother that used to be a member of my dad's church, and I saw him yesterday in the store. He stopped. He said, "Ain't you Reverend Jackson, sir?" I said, "Yeah." And I was shocked to see him because I hadn't seen him since I've been out of high school, just a little bit out of high school. Excuse me, I hadn't seen the brother. And I was just kind of a little shocked to see him because of the condition, amen, that he was in. And what I want you to understand is that salvation is progression. Amen. It's not degression. Amen. You don't go back. Amen. Now you can backslide. Amen. But a person just don't go through. That's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says over in James that we are to be what? Perfect. It talks about perfection.
Yes.
And that Greek word perfection translates to mean maturity of full age, meaning that I am not the same man that I was 20 and 30 years ago, and I won't be the same man that I am today if God permits me to live another 20 to 30 years, meaning that I grow spiritually. Amen? And the things that I used to do, I don't desire to do those things anymore. Amen?
Yes.
So I'm praying for the brother that God finds a way, amen, somehow he finds a way to be delivered, because he used to come to church and he used to have questions, but amen, it was just a little sad for me to see him fall by the wayside in that way, because that just goes to prove that everybody that attends church or go to church is not saved.
Come
everybody
on.
That say that they was once saved, there is no such thing as once saved. Either
no,
you are
no.
saved or you are not saved.
Yeah.
That is it. There is no such thing as I used to be saved. See, that's the lie from
Come
the
on.
Devil. There is no such thing. Either you have the Holy Spirit or you don't have the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, amen. In this instance, amen, he said, interested. The guard, the prison guard, wants to know, amen, for Paul and Silas, he said, what must I do to be saved?
Uh-huh.
That's the question. What must you
uh-huh.
do to be saved? Everybody's talking about the return of Christ and everything, but they need to start telling people, which we've been preaching for many years, what you must do to become saved. That's
Come
the
on.
Most important thing. Amen. Like the brother said, amen, that's why Christ came, to save your soul from hell and ultimately to save your soul from the lake of fire. See, people think hell is it. No, hell ain't it. Hell is just a holding place until after the great white throne judgment. And then John said that hell was cast into the lake of fire. And so the lake of fire is far more worse than hell. Hell ain't got nothing on the lake of fire.
Come on
Amen.
Now.
Amen. So we want you to become saved. Amen. I thought I would just piggyback off the brother and start out with that, because we want people to understand that salvation is free. You don't have to work for salvation. That's what the brother was saying. Salvation is free. That's why Christ died on the cross. Christ did what Tim couldn't do. Amen?
Uh-huh.
So that's why
uh-huh.
he died for my sins, to make it easy and simple. And said, Tim, all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and my Holy Spirit will enter into you in a twinkling of an eye, and now you are one with God.
Come on.
Amen. And then he said, and then Paul said, work out your own soul salvation. In other words, you work on your mouth. You work on your mindset. You work on your flesh. You work on being a better person. Amen. But you can only do that after you have salvation. You can't put the horse in front of the carriage. Amen. You got to put the horse first. You got to become saved first before you even begin to live right.
Come on now.
Amen. See, some people got it backwards, doctor. They got it backwards. They want to tell people, oh, you got to live. You can't live right until you have the Holy Spirit. You got to confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart. There is no mistake about this thing. See, people, they think that you just going to accidentally fall into heaven. No, that ain't going to happen. Amen. That ain't how it works. Everything is by design. God know exactly what he's doing. And just for sure, as we know this word and understand this word, it's meant for everybody on the face of this planet to understand this Bible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
And even if you don't understand, the Bible said, Paul said it best. He said, how can they hear, amen, unless they have what? Unless they have a preacher. That's what he said. He said, unless you have a preacher, in other words, find you a good Bible teaching church or a good preacher that's going to teach you the word and not just holler at you all the time, week in and week out. And amen, brother, and just be entertained. See, people in church now just want to be entertained. People go to church now because the music sounds good. People go to church because the pastor looks good or he speaks eloquently. He gives good Bible verses and motivational speeches. But is he preaching the cross?
Come on.
How you can become saved? Is he teaching that Christ died on the cross? But hey, I think we talked about this some months ago, amen, that the songs that they used to sing in church when I was a kid, they don't sing them songs anymore. And I noticed last year, amen, since we've been on the earth, I said, you know what? I remember the songs because I was just thinking about an old hymn that the sisters used to sing in church. And they used to always talk about the return of Christ. Now you don't even hear them type of songs anymore.
No.
Amen. Everybody want to jam now. Everybody wants something that you can move and dance to. Amen.
Come on
now.
What
about salvation?
Salvation.
What about your soul being saved? See, Satan has lulled the church to sleep. He's put the church to sleep, and he's put these so-called hirelings. Amen. They call themselves pastors and preachers, amen, which they ain't nothing but after money, most of them, amen. Uh-huh. They ain't teaching people nothing. Amen. That's not all of them, amen. And that's not all of them, but the mass majority of them at this day and time, they're not teaching the church. They're not telling the church, hey, are you watching? Are you looking for that? See, every single day, amen, when Christ ascended into the earth, they was looking for Christ to come back. The same way he left, they was looking for him. But see, the church over the 2,000-year period has almost went to sleep. And they are not paying attention or looking for Christ to return. And that's a sad thing, brother. And that's a sad thing, brother. I think you're returning back over to you. But I want to touch on salvation first before we really, because I want to just piggyback on what you were saying.
That's all right, brother.
Man, that is so correct. The people have no. I'm not talking about the world. We know the world don't know what's going on. They don't care anyway. Come in the church, week in and week out. You have a right to know. Amen.
Woo.
That's right, doctor.
Woo.
You have a right to know that Christ said, "Watch," and he sent the warning through John and Revelation. And I tell people, if your pastor ain't teaching some of this stuff, you need to get out of that church and find you a new church home. That's just being real. It don't matter if it's listening to us or find someone, but you need to find somebody who's going to teach you the truth. Amen, brother. But I just want to touch on that. We're going to come back and get into some more things. Amen. But I just want to touch on that, brother. Is that all right?
It's all right, brother. Hey, this is what we get the word, because I'm going to stay right there where you at, because I got a verse in the book of Hebrews. Second chapter.
Okay.
It says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed us by them that heard him? Now, here's the Hebrew writer, amen, asking us, how shall we escape? And then when I say escape the damnations of hell, escape lake of fire, to escape the judgment of God, because if you miss Jesus Christ, if you neglect Jesus Christ, there's no escape that you can get out of hell except you come to Jesus Christ. And the writer here is saying, how should we escape if we, and that we includes everybody, neglect, ain't paying attention to it. People ain't paying attention to salvation anymore.
That's right.
No. See, the devil said, no, don't worry about salvation. Salvation, God's going to gradually save you. He'll save you when he get time on. Don't worry, he ain't going to put you in hell. But here it says, how are we going to keep if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first begin to be spoken by the Lord? Well, when did the Lord ever speak, amen, about salvation? Where did he speak it at? All right, now, you better listen to me. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis. In the book of Genesis. Amen. In the book of Genesis, the third chapter, at the 15th verse. At the 15th verse. Third chapter, 15th verse. This is the Lord speaking to Satan. This is the Lord speaking to the devil. Now listen to what Jesus, what God is saying. He's saying, I will put imminent between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the Lord God Almighty, for the first time since the beginning of time, that he spoke about this salvation. And this salvation, he told Lucifer that I'm going to put a seed between your seed and the woman's seed, and her seed and your seed. It shall bruise. It shall bruise our head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. What was God telling Adam and Eve? He was telling them the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. Listen to what I'm saying. This is the first time God mentioned salvation. And he spoke it back in Genesis. And here we are living in 2021. And that same salvation, the seed was a royal seed. And that seed was a seed of God himself, because he impregnated Mary to become a man. Amen. God became man through the womb of Mary and brought forth a child. Call his name Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that can deliver your soul from hell. But what do you get the power? He's God. He's God. The devil don't want the world to recognize that Jesus Christ is God Almighty all by himself, brother.
Amen.
Come on. That's the greatest salvation that God brought to the planet. And the planet saying, now, I got other ways, man. I got other way to get to heaven. Oh, what will you got? Man, you know something? I pray 2 times a day. Man, I pay my tithes and offerings. Man, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't lie. I don't cheat. Man, I've been mad for 40 years. I never committed adultery on my wife. Or if you looked at a woman in lust after her, you committed adultery already. So, you know, sin. Come on now. Come on now. What do you think you're so good? So you can bring your own salvation. Well, some people say, well, I'm a Presbyterian. Some say I'm a Catholic. I don't care what denomination you're going under. There's no salvation in denomination. Woo! There's salvation only and only in Jesus Christ. He is the one that did what? He paid the penalty for sin. An innocent man. A sinless man, a perfect man. Who is he? God man, God in man. God became flesh. He became a human being so he can feel the agony of pain and sin and degradation and all the things that sin brings. And guess what? He paid the price by what? His blood. His blood. No blood. No life. No, listen to me what I'm saying. You got to have blood in your body in order to survive in the physical world. You got to have blood in your body. And if you don't That's have right. blood in your body, you cannot live. You can't put water in it. You can't put alcohol in it. You can't put nothing but blood, because the soul is in the blood. God made the blood system. God made the blood like that, because the soul can exist in the blood. And when you die, guess what? The blood out of your body has to be drained, and they metamorphose you. They put you in a morgue, and they embalm you. That blood is gone. come back to life because there's no blood in your body. And the only way that you can come back to life is that the Lord raised you from the dead. And he don't go around raising people out of the dead after they die. Most of them don't come back. Very few people come back. I've heard people say they died and came back, which I don't doubt it. Amen. It can happen. But let me tell you, but on a majority basis, when you die and leave this world, you're out of here. And if you die without what? If you die neglected, the only way that Jesus Christ could do and bring salvation, he had to be massacred. He had to be mutilated. He had to be whipped. He had to be nailed to a cross and stay on the cross for 6 long hours and dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder for what? For your sin. Going to the grave for what? Your sin. Stay in the grave for how long? 3 days or 3 nights for what? Your sin. Your low down, dirty self. We all have sinned and come short of the glory. Ain't no purification on one man can come on this planet and say, I am pure. He's a liar, a backbiter, a whoremonger, a fornicator. He's a homosexual. He got to be one of those. He's a liar. He's a denier. He's an unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever, you're on your way to hell because whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. And here's how we going to escape. How is Brother Tim going to escape? Escape the damnation.
Amen.
I know he knows. Amen. He knows Jesus Christ. And he knows, amen, the only way that he can get to heaven, the only way Brother Bazaar can get to heaven. I ain't going on my look. Woo, my looks are deteriorating.
Doctor.
I'm not going on my money. They tell me the banks are closing now. They tell me banks are joining. You know why? They're running out of money. So I don't need, money ain't going to get me. The fine-looking woman ain't going to get me there. Woo, my cars, my prestige, my talking, and my education ain't going to get me there. How shall we escape? We can't escape, brother. You can't escape out there. I don't care who you are, what you are. I don't care what color you are, because a lot of people think it's a white heaven. Some think it's a black heaven. Think there's a Japanese heaven. Ain't nothing but one heaven, one hell, one baptism, and one way to get to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible's trying to explain to us, and that's what 3rd chapter, the 15th verse of Genesis is saying. I'm going to put an enmity between the seed of Satan. And God got an enemy. He got a seed between God. He got a seed between the man and Satan. And that seed is Jesus Christ. Woo! God's Son, his only Son, died and rose again. So when somebody tell you that they've been in church for 50 years, that they don't did enough work in the church for 50 years to go to heaven, that's a lying wonder. You never make it.
Amen.
You won't even see the gates. You won't even see. You want to see the golden bells. You want to see the streets of gold. Because anything that's without blood is a dead man. And if you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because in the book of Revelation it talks about the blood of the Lamb, and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. It made our robes white as snow. And our robes, in the modern terminology and in the spiritual terminology, is the soul. Amen. So your soul has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got a white robe on. I'm dressed in white. You don't see me. I'm a colored man, if you want to say so. But my soul, amen, has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And since it's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, God has made my soul white in the snow. When he sees me, he don't see me. He sees his son, Jesus Christ. Because when Christ died, he died. Yes, he did. And he went down in the grave. And that shed blood has never lost its power. And I hear a songwriter say, his blood can reach to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley. It can save you to the utmost. And that may tell the Bible say, all men have sinned. All men are wicked. All men are liars. All men are traitors. And we're living in a day now where the whole human race almost has come corrupt. Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago, as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, they were partying. Oh man, they was jamming back. They had their music, they had their horses, they had their chariots, they had their money, they had their women and angels. Of heaven had fallen from heaven, and they cohabitated with the human race and became wicked. It was so wicked that God said the imagination of man's heart is only continued. And now we're living in the 21st century, and every time I wake up in the morning, in the evening, in the nighttime, I don't hear nothing about somebody done got killed, somebody done picked up with drugs, somebody done jumped out of hospital window, somebody starting a race riot, somebody is committing fornication. It's only continually evil and evil and evil and evil. And men today are wondering, how can we escape? That's why Bill Gates is trying to get eliminated. He's trying to eliminate the population of the earth so there won't be about 3 billion on earth. And everybody talking about, oh, my corona, and I got to wear a mask, and I got to do this, and I can't do this. Well, Bill Gates is the cause of it. The Bill Gates is a billionaire, and we got about 50 billionaires in the world today that wants to run the world through the Illuminati. We got them in the government. We got them in the senators. We got them in the governors. We got them in the mayors. Because the world is saying we got to escape, but there is no escape. The only escape that I know for the last 76 years is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one that can deliver your soul from hell. And if you don't want to be delivered from soul from hell today, if you don't want to come to Christ, because I love you, brother, I love you, sister, I love you, whoever's out there, listen to me. I'm not playing. I'm serious of a heart attack. If somebody was going to kill me right now and say, they were asking, what would you like to do? I would say, I'd like to say one last word. I'd like to say one last before you shoot me. Because I tell you one thing, know Christ. Know Christ before you leave this planet, and you can get rid of me, because it's the only way that you're going to escape. As the Hebrew writer said, how shall we escape if we don't pay no attention to the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought into the world that can save an old wino, an old prostitute, an old homosexual, an old lesbianism. He can save the incest. He can save whoever wants to be saved, as it says in the 16th chapter of Acts. What must I do? Man, what can I do? Do I have to jump 3 times a day? What do I have to say a certain word? No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because when the rapture occur, the church will be gone. And when the rapture of the church occur, it's going to cause great havoc over the whole planet. The whole planet will go into a devastating, complete change. Men will become more violent. Men will become evil. Men will change the attitude and say they will be trying to damn God. They will be cussing God out. They will be blaspheming God. Preachers will have to shut their Bibles and fall on their knees and call on the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and tell the Lord, I've been a liar for these many years, telling people lies. Oh, high class, sophisticated degrees, all kind of degrees. But let me tell you, if you don't get Jesus Christ, you're gonna spend with them degrees in hell, and then you're going to have your own degree, and there's the degrees of punishment in hell for the sins that you have done if you don't get your sins forgiven. Because if you die today and your sins have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you have not been redeemed, you don't have no escape. You can't call the fire department because there ain't enough water to put out of hell. You can call all the ice cubes you can get. Because before they get to hell, they're going to melt up. You can call all your buddy, best friend that you ever have.
That's right.
You can call the best theologian, the best doctor, the best construction worker, try to find a way to get out of hell. You can find a boat, the best boat builder, to see if you can float over fire. No, you can't do it. You ain't got no. You got to come to Jesus Christ, for he's a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in the time of storm. And his blood, by faith, you are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. So you better get that working attitude out of your heart. You better get that attitude that when you look in the mirror, you think you're so cute, you think she's so beautiful, and you know you got a lot of beautiful women today that think, hey, oh, man, I'm too beautiful to go to hell. No, you ain't. No, you ain't, brother. I'm too handsome to go to hell. No, you ain't. Ain't nobody handsome enough to walk through the pearly gates on their looks. Ain't nobody enough. Ain't nobody black enough. Ain't nobody poor enough. Ain't nobody uneducated enough to not to know ABC. Repent. And that's what the world don't want to do. That's what church folks don't want to do. They don't want to bow down at the foot of the cross and admit that they are a low-down sinner or a hypocrite. Because there's two people, amen, There's two kind of people, amen, that's going to heaven that a lot of people ain't going. And that's the backslider and the born-again believer.
That's right.
That's the only thing to make. Because a backslider is not lost. You can't lose salvation. You can't lose salvation.
Amen. Tell them, doctor.
Because Jesus Christ said, I got you in my hand. And no man can pluck you
amen.
Out of my hand. Oh, good God Almighty. I'm in God's hand.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil and all his imps and all his cohorts can't pluck me out of the pluck me out of the blood of Jesus Christ, because Satan can't touch the blood of Jesus Christ. He'll disintegrate if he touches the blood of Jesus Christ. And my soul has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and Jesus Christ is not going to give me a gift and then take it back. He's not an
Indian
giver. He's an Indian giver. But let me tell you, when you stand before the judgment, if you stand before the judgment seat of Bema, amen, God's going to hold you accountable for what you tell people. And I'm telling people around right now, if you've been born again, if you truly been washed in the blood of the Lamb and ain't playing with God, ain't playing with you, I guarantee you, you cannot lose your salvation. It's secure.
That's right.
It's sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Number two, you're not going to be able to go through the tribulation, because Christ is going to take every blood-washed one from this planet, and there won't be nobody left on this planet but unregenerated people that's going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel the whole seven-year tribulation from the 144,000 and from the two witnesses and from three angels that's going to shock up the earth and preach the gospel to the whole round world if you don't die during the tribulation. But if you die during the tribulation without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. If you die because of the guillotine and refuse the mark of the beast, and you say, I don't want the mark because I know it's the devil, that's the devil, the Antichrist, the devil incarnated, I'm not going to receive the mark, and you go to the guillotine, the minute you lose your head, oh, yeah, the minute you lose your head, your soul takes flight to heaven. Oh, my God.
That's
you don't
right.
have time for baptism. You don't have time to speak in tongues. You ain't got time to say, preacher, pray for me. It's going to be by faith. Ye are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. Why do you think God Almighty is letting man go on this long? 6,000 years he has let man go on this long. Why? Because he loved the world so much. He loved his own creation so much. He loves every human being on this planet. And he's going to give everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And quit trying to get the idea because you go to church, you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. I don't care how many years you've been going. I don't care how many years you've been singing in the choir. Because let me tell you something. If the blood of Jesus Christ is not in your heart by your faith and by a changed life, because when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive a changed life. Your life is completely different. What
Amen.
You used to hate, you don't hate no more. You used to hate Jesus Christ, but now you love Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You've been changed. And when you receive Christ, you love Christ. I love Christ with all my heart, all my soul. I love Christ more than I love myself. I love Christ
Amen.
More than I love my name. I love Christ more than anything because he is the only one. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the only one that was able to deliver me from hell. H-E-L-L. If you don't believe in the hell, is there hot water in your basement? Go down there and turn it in the shower. It's turned it on full blast. As long as there's heat, there's a hell.
That's right.
But yet people don't believe in a hell because they want to justify their wrongdoing and go to heaven. It ain't going to happen.
That's right.
It ain't going to happen. Chicken don't have no lips. No. Me. That because they wearing a three-piece suit and patent leather shoes, Stacy Adams, and got a necktie on and smell sweet and getting all the women and telling, well, the Lord will forgive me. Let me tell you, you're going to hell if you don't watch out.
That's right.
Because
Amen.
When you practice that stuff and call yourself a man of God, you got a problem, brother. You got
That's
a
right.
hypocritical problem. You trying to play with God. And let me tell you something. God don't play.
That's right.
He don't play with people's soul. And he's not playing with nobody's soul. And he don't like what God don't be lying on God. People going around talking about they straight, they lying on God because they hate everybody they see. And if they don't look
right,
taste right, look right, they hate them. They're talking about them. They run them down. More church folk run down each other more than in prison.
That's right.
The people don't talk about each other because they know, hey, man, you talk about me, man, you're going to get hurt. In church, they talking about they love you. And people getting hurt with the lips. People are getting driven away from the church by the way that people talk because they're not talking holiness. They're talking lustful. They're talking demonic. They're talking demonology. They're talking witchcraft. They're talking Illuminati in the house of God. Witchcraft.
That's right.
Buddhist. Throwing salt over your back and worry about going under a ladder and have all kind of hair stuck under your pillows and stuff like that. All that old witchcraft is demonic. And the devil has crept into the house of God, and people are usually calling themselves, the Lord done bless me. You are a lying one. You're lying on God.
That's right.
And the Bible says no liar will ever tarry in the eyesight of God. All God is so holy, brother, you just don't know. Woo, he's so holy. I just to think of him makes me tremble. His holy.
That's right.
Just to think how holy he is. And people don't think of God for nothing anymore. They'll cuss him out. They'll get mad at him. They'll say he ain't nothing. They say he's old wimpy. They call him all kinds, and they're blaspheming his name. They're blaspheming his the rainbow already. They don't blaspheme that. But God said, I got something for you. And if you don't believe he got something for you, hang around there in Revelation a little bit, and it'll tell you what's going to happen to the wicked. It'll tell you what's happening to those that reject. What? Reject what? The blood of Christ. The Christ that died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Man, let me tell you, Brother Tim.
Yes, sir.
I kind of wish I was there to see it, but I know I wouldn't be able to bear it the way they did my Savior, the way they did him.
Yes, sir.
They did him, man. They did him worse than a man could ever do in human history. And yet
That's right. He
went down and laid down his life. Why? To save my soul from hell.
That's right.
H-E-L. A lot of hells. Low place. And when people live a low life beyond the principles and the righteousness of God, they're going to go to hell.
That's right.
Because you cannot live below the principles of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. God
no,
won't
sir.
Allow it. He won't do it. Some people are dying today without a remedy.
That's right.
God just snapping them off the face of the earth because they have blasphemed his name. They're laughing at God. But laughing
That's
days
right.
are almost over.
Yes,
people
sir.
When that corona hit, and it ain't over yet, and they still people get shots, but still, people still dying. They still
That's
dying.
That's right.
People are shot and still dying. Now, what you think?
Right.
I'm going to go on the grace of God. I'm looking towards a hill from my head. My God is my protection.
Come on, doctor. Come on.
My God is my protection, brother. I ain't scared to go nowhere. I ain't putting no mask on my face. I want to see me who I am. I ain't trying to cover my identity. I'm a child of God.
I belong
to the King. I belong to me. What? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because when he shook that cross, he didn't only just shake that cross, he shook heaven and earth. And it was so powerful that the moon had high blood pressure and turned red. And the sun got embarrassed and was out for 3 hours.
Lord have mercy.
Tired. And guess what? He went to hell for me. Huh.
Yes,
he went to hell for me. And now, if I could die and go, die myself and go to hell, I wouldn't be able to get up myself. I wouldn't be able to come out of there.
That's right.
I don't have that kind of power. No man had that power to die, go to hell, and say, well, I'm getting tired of hell. I'm getting out of here. He ain't got no power to get out of there. He's in there forever. But Christ went down, when Jesus Christ went down, he went down and talked to Satan face to face. And ain't no woman going to get up in the pulpit and tell me the devil beat up Christ. Joyce Meyer says the devil beat Christ up. She's a lying woman.
What?
Yes, sir. She is a lying woman because the devil didn't beat no Christ up. Jesus Christ went down there and took death, hell, and destruction by the neck and took the keys from Satan and buckled it on his side. And he said, now I'm getting ready to leave you right here, and I'm going to take the patriarchs. In the Old Testament, he unlocked paradise. And when he got up on the resurrection morning, those saints that died before the cross got up out of paradise and ascended up into heaven when Jesus Christ went up. That's right, brother. I don't know where people get these ideas and try to defeat Jesus Christ. The lying devil, Beelzebub, got people so blind and so going crazy. And the reason why, because they won't read the Bible, they won't repent, they won't find a good home church. And if you have to start a church in your own house, you better do it.
Amen.
You go to these churches now. They ain't going to do nothing but look at you and get your money and say, come back again. And that spaghetti-type preacher get up in the pulpit, foaming at the mouth, ain't studied, ain't prayed, ain't fasted, ain't concerned about souls, going to tell you something you don't even know about because you don't read your Bible. You better read your
Bible.
That's
right.
Now, I had Brother Tim say last night, you better read your Bible.
That's right.
And so, amen. There's three things. If you know three things, you should be able to read the Bible. That's reading, arithmetic, and there's three. If you know them three, you ought to be able to read the Bible. Writing, arithmetic.
Writing, and reading, and math.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Good doctor, so, man. That's it.
When Christ comes, remember, it's going to be a exit through the clouds, through the cumulus cloud.
Yes, sir.
And where we're going to a place called Bema, judgment seat.
Yes, sir.
And that will be on the outskirts of heaven, because when Christ descends, he's coming down, but he ain't coming all the way down.
That's right.
And he's gonna set up the judgment seat of Bema for what? For the saints of God. See, for the saints for the blood washed ones.
That's right.
For their work. And we're gonna be in heaven for 7 years. And the 7 years that we're in heaven, earth is gonna be under judgment.
Yes, sir.
And the one that's going to be under judgment is the one that's going to be left here. If your mama ain't saved, your daddy is. If your sister ain't saved, your mama is. One will be taken and the other left.
That's right. Amen. Come on, doctor.
And when you miss your loved ones, you're going to call out, oh, my God, the rapture will occur, because you're going to know something about it. And if you heard it from me and Tim, you're going to know something about it, because we're going to write down on the line. The only ones going to be left here is the unregenerated generation.
That's it.
And God said by that going to happen, they're going to have to go through the tribulation. But I'm not going to leave you blank. I'm not going to leave you not being the gospel. I'm going to definitely send 144,000 Jews, males.
That's right.
They're going to preach the gospel. Young men that's going to preach the gospel out of Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem is the capital of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jerusalem was the place on the day of Pentecost when everybody was with one accord in one place, and a mighty sound came from heaven, and the Holy Ghost came in and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they preached the gospel ever since then. And God said, I'm going to send 144,000 before the close of the age. And guess what? Those that were left here, going to hear the Jews for the first time ever. And what I mean ever, I mean never in human history or in eternity that God raised a nation to preach the gospel in the last 7 years. And it's going to be so powerful. And I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Tim. Let him roll it on in for me. Amen. They're going to preach for 3.5 years. After he gets through with the 3.5 years, many people around the world, from mm-hmm. the coast to coast, California to Shanghai, Shek, all the way across to Afghanistan, and all the way over to Israel, all the way over to Eastern and Western Europe, all the way around the world, they're going to hear it on what? They're going to hear it on your iPod and all your high technology.
That's right. Amen.
The communication is going to be astronomical. People are going to turn off their TV. Amen. If the gospel is not preached on TV, all the commercials are going to be eliminated, because this is the message that you will never hear again. And if people don't get their eyes open and receive Christ in their life during this tribulation period, they're going to fall into the great tribulation. And that will be the time when the devil will be on this earth in the Antichrist, and he's called the beast. And this beast will be a beast of beasts. You talking about a beast? You talking about an animal? You can take all the beasts of the world and put them together. This here man is going to be a human being, and the devil is going to let him become the beast of the earth of the last general. And the world will witness this fake Christ, this hocus pocus, this jack-leg Antichrist. He ain't nothing but a jack-leg devil, and he's jacking people up every day. He's messing folks' lives up every day. And the preachers, oh, my God, man, that gets me upset. I don't consider myself the best preacher, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. And these preachers need to get on their knees. They need to repent from Osteen, T.J. Jakes, and if I can name them all, I would name them all. I'm not nobody's judge, but let me tell you, if you ain't preaching, how shall we escape if we neglect salvation, if the greater salvation, how are we going to escape? Ask them how they going to escape the judgment of God if they don't receive this great salvation once they live into the saints. God bless you.
That's
them. Walk with me, brother.
Amen, brother. Awesome. Brother. Awesome word. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. Go ahead, brother Tim.
Amen. Amen. Brother, amen. So, hey, brother, that was awesome, brother. Amen. You were deep in the bag. you were deep in the bag, brother. Amen. But we just want, amen, to prepare the church, amen, as Christ sent the message to John, amen, to write the book of Revelation. This is what this is about. This is to shake the church up and make you aware of what you may not know, what you don't know about what's about to take place. And the stuff that's going on in the world today, everything is playing out perfectly, just as the Bible said, it's playing out perfectly. And what's about to happen is judgments and punishments from God on high.
Yes.
Because the world has rebelled, amen, fallen away.
Yeah.
And if you look at that translation, amen, that word fall away, that's over in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse, it means to rebel, to refuse. That's what it is. The world is refusing God. The world is rebelling, like the brother said, amen, that they have taken the rainbow colors and blasphemed it and taken it and just used it for their flag. But, amen, I remember a time where rainbow was just something that you would just wear. We understood what it was. It was also what's over the throne of God and the promise that he made to man that, amen, that when after he flooded the earth, he made a promise to man that he would never flood the earth again. He put that rainbow in the sky. Amen. But they are mocking God, and they are taking things for a joke. Amen. But they don't know what's about to happen. And the devil has the world, including people who attend church, blinded. Amen. You cannot prepare for the judgments and the punishments that are about to hit this planet. And amen. Me and the brother was just discussing the other day, they are record-breaking buying bunkers. People are buying bunkers to put in the ground. They trying to hide. They preparing for something. They're buying up all the food. They're buying up all the water. They're just preparing. They're buying up all the bullets, the weapons. Amen. Talked to a sister the other day. Amen. She spent her last dime trying to buy a gun. Man, let me tell you something. This is a spiritual warfare.
Yes,
and
it
you
is,
cannot,
brother.
Amen, you cannot
yes,
prepare
sir.
For what's about to hit this planet. People are doing all
Come
this
on,
stuff. Man. The only thing that you can do to prepare
Woo.
Yourself for what's about to
yes.
happen is get saved. That's it.
Yes.
That's all you need to do.
Come on.
I don't need to go buy no 100 cases of water. I don't need to go buy no shed or no big shed to go store no food in. I mean, they doing everything. They buying up sheds left and right. Amen. We just
yes,
need to store a shed just because our shed is old and broke down. We just trying to buy a new one. Everywhere we go, the sheds went up about 1,000. I said, what's going on? Well, people are buying. They said, people are buying these sheds left and right. And I figured out what it is. I said, oh. So people are buying up food because my son works at Sam's, and he said, Dad, he said, we can't keep nothing out here. So every time you look up, they're out of stuff. He said, this has never happened. People are preparing, but you're going to run out of food. They don't know that's what's about to happen. The great famine is about to happen. You're still going to run out of food. You're not going to have enough bullets and weaponry to ward off the evil
God.
That's about to come and is about to hit
my
this
God.
Planet. The only thing that you could do, the only thing that you could do is just like I read over Acts, the 16th chapter, amen, verses 30 and 31. Get you and your household saved and look for Christ to come back because he's coming back to get a church
yes,
without a spot,
yes,
a wrinkle, or a blemish. He's coming back to get those that love him.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody talking about love in the church no more. Amen. Ain't nobody talking about salvation no more. Everybody just giving motivational speeches. Quoting scriptures that sound good. Everybody want a feel-good message. Amen.
Amen.
But that age is gone. That's not
gone.
Coming back. That age is gone.
No.
You can't
gone,
go back
brother.
To church now and talk to people about, you know, if you sow in $1,000, you're going to have a house next year, or you're going to have this nice big family. Them days are gone.
Come
it's
on.
Over with.
Come
it's
on.
Done. You can't go back to the church and preach that no more. It's over with. Christ
it's
is
over.
On his way back. It's over.
That's
with.
It.
And what you better do, if you are in leadership listening to us, you should be getting the church prepared. Your family, only thing you can do is get your family prepared. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Make sure that they are ready because the judgments, amen, Christ is going to open up those seals. And when he do, amen, the Bible says in Revelation 6 chapter, when he opened up the seal, now the church is going to be gone. The saints are going to be in heaven. Amen. We will
All
be
right.
done. The church age is just about over with. We will be done. And it's going to be those that are left behind
Ooh.
To deal with the evil that's going to hit this planet. And it's funny because a family member was talking to me. He said he actually talked to this gentleman. He said because I guess he's associated with a certain circle, and he's a white guy. He was telling him, he said that they're trying to start a race war. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, let me tell you something. It's not going to matter because the church is going to be gone. And I always said this, when things happen, the people who get the worst of it is the poor. And let me tell you something. If you're not saved, you might have to deal with that. You may have to figure
yeah.
because everything is going to happen when the church is gone. We're not going to
yeah.
have to deal with any of this stuff that's about to hit. And it ain't going to just be race war. That's the least thing you're going to have to worry about. You ain't going to have
on.
Enough food to feed yourself. Food is going to be scarce. People are going to be robbing and stealing. Once the rapture of the church happens, once the great gathering together, once Christ called the church home, so many houses across this world, this country is going to be empty. My house is going to be gone. Empty.
Yeah.
So whatever food that I have, people are going to be looting. Whatever earthly belongings you have, they're going to loot you. It ain't going to matter to me because we're going to be in heaven. We could care less. You can have it. Amen. You can have it.
Man,
they're going to be looting this planet. They're going to be going crazy, looting, stealing. The world going to go in berserk. And Christ is going to open up that first seal. And the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to try to smooth things over, to calm people down. Amen. The New World Religion is already being formed. They're getting ready. Amen. They already got their players and pieces on the board. See, they're not concerned about us because they know that what's about to happen. See, the church is about to be out of here. We're done. They ain't concerned about us. They don't consider us a threat because, as far as Satan's concerned, amen, they have enough souls lost. And that's what Satan wants. They are trying to keep as many people blind as possible. Amen.
Yeah.
The church is about to be gone. Amen.
Gone, brother.
And the only thing that you can do is get you and your loved ones prayer to make sure that you understand. And let me read it to you, amen, because I have to read scripture, amen. Let me go over to Romans, the 10th chapter. Amen. You all know what it is. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, amen. This is the method of justification. If you want to receive salvation, you don't have to wait till you go back to your church. See, I remember a time when people used to, I mean, I just can't believe, brother, some of the stuff that I've been hearing in churches over the years. And I said, Lord, have mercy. How do people gather together to listen to false prophets? But they do because they don't study and read the word for themselves.
That's right.
You know, preachers will actually act like they got salvation in their church. In other words, they'll make it seem like if you don't come before me, I remember hearing a pastor say something crazy like that, as like you can't get saved without him. All you have to do, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. That don't have nothing to do with Tim. All I can do is give you the information. It's up to you to do. You can get saved right now in your house. You could be laying in your bed. You could be in your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen, your bathroom, your backyard, your front yard, your car. You can get saved anywhere. But pastors have made it seem like down through the years that they have made people seem like they ain't saved or they not worthy to be saved. And, brother, I can't stand that I just can't stand that. They would treat people like certain people like they not worthy to be saved. I remember hearing people say, Pastor, I remember when I first got saved, amen, I had this pastor try to tell me because at the time me and my wife was dating and we were shacking. Well, you ain't saved. I had to stop him right there. I said, brother, you don't have the right to tell me if I'm saved or not. If I confess with my mouth and I believe God, the Bible says I'm saved. And you a man, you don't have no right to tell me. So you have to rebuke the devil. See, you got a bunch of hirelings out here walking around, walking the Bible. Amen. And people are following that mess. You don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. How you going to tell me if I'm saved or not?
Come on now. Come on.
Amen. Don't block nobody's salvation. Don't block my blessing. Amen. We're going to get married. It don't mean just because I just got saved yesterday that we got to run down to the courthouse and get saved just right this instant.
Come on,
man. Things are a process. Amen. Things are a process. And so, yes, we eventually got married within that week, but I just wasn't going to let no man tell me what the Holy Spirit. See, I knew the Holy Spirit was in me and he was dealing with me.
Amen.
But see, I wasn't going to let no man just because he'd been preaching for years. But see, you got a bunch of hollering, a bunch of false prophets is what they are out here talking about. And they ain't saved, no, ain't got no Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit nowhere in them. Amen. You got to be careful who you listen to. Amen.
Yes.
But see, I knew that the Holy Spirit. And if you know that you confess with your mouth, amen, you believe God. See, that's the main thing. You know that you believe God and you believe that, that Christ died for your sin. The Bible says you are saved.
Yeah.
That's
amen.
It. We
that's
just
it.
Want you to receive salvation because we want you to be saved. We want to see you in heaven and live. Who don't want no part of that? Paul said it best. Paul said that I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has for them that love him. So you got to love God.
Yeah.
And do you even know what that means? That means that nobody can even imagine what heaven is like. We can't even imagine the sounds that are in heaven, the beauty that's in heaven. You can't even, Paul said, you can't even imagine. Man, I can't wait. And you, people are so attached, brother. You said it just now. People are so attached to their worldly life, to their houses, their cars, their jewelry. They enjoying this life, their job, their careers. They are just so attached that they just can't fathom that God just come down and interrupt that. Man, please. God has something much better than what I have here in this life. Amen.
Come
though
on,
I may enjoy this life, I may enjoy the things that I have, but I know what God has for me is far more greater and better than what any man can give me. Amen. On this planet.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Jesus.
Hey, I know what my heart lies. Amen. I can't wait to see his face. Amen. That's what I can't wait for. The beauty of it. He said, in my Father's house, amen, are many mansions. Amen. He said, for I go to prepare a place for you. Brother, that's what I'm waiting for. They can have this all rust and moth and corruption and thieves break in and steal. Because once I'm going to heaven, they can break in. They can have it all. They going to fight. Amen. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. They're going to be fighting and killing each other over people's belongings. And don't even know, amen, if they don't receive God, amen, in the tribulation that they headed to the lake of fire. Amen.
Lord,
brother, amen. I just want to talk about, amen, the mark of the beast real quick if I got a little time.
Go ahead,
I want the people who are doubting this message. If you are blessed and fortunate to hear this message, amen, because it's sad to say that there are people that hear this message and they are ignoring it because there are some people who have a reprobate mind that it takes for something. See, some people are proactive. Some people are reactive. Brother, we are proactive, amen, which means that we heard the word, amen. It didn't take us long to understand, you know what, I don't think hell in the lake of fire is for me. I am proactive, so I want to be saved, amen, before I die and leave this world. Amen. My daddy used to say, as long as you got breath in your body, you have the opportunity to become saved. Amen. So it ain't over with yet. Amen. Because I want to also talk about what Paul said in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. He said, we shall be changed. And he said, this corruption, amen, shall be changed into incorruption. That means I'm going to get a brand new body. These glasses that I wear, I won't need them no more. This hair that's turning gray, amen, is going to be black once again. Amen. This body that's got overweight and got stretch marks on, he's going to give me a brand new body. Amen. Amen. It don't matter about what's going on now because he's going to make me a new man. Amen.
Yes.
And so that's what I want you to receive. That's what salvation is. Salvation is a brand new, amen, body. Amen. Amen. You'll never need food or water. You'll never need sleep or rest. You'll never be stressed or depressed. Amen. You'll never have to worry, amen, about getting up, going to some stinking job and somebody mistreating you and talking down to you, amen, and not getting paid enough. You'll never have to worry about this ignorance that goes on in this world. Amen. Because why? You got salvation. He said, I will give you rest. Amen. You are have to ever worry about those things.
Yeah.
And he says in heaven there is no darkness because his brightness and his glory and his face is so bright that it's like billions of suns in his brightness. Amen. Because he is holy and righteous. And there will be no darkness, amen, in the new heaven, amen, the new earth. So we don't have to fear never no more. these no evil more. People, evil governments, people that are killing them. Well, the Bible said those dogs will be in the lake of fire, not hell, in the lake of fire for all eternity, burning, amen, because they won't escape the great judgment of God, amen. Amen. But I want to talk about, amen, real quick, brother, amen. I had to get on my soapbox and start preaching that for a minute. Amen. But just real quick, amen, there's a lot of things I want to touch on, but let me go ahead and touch on the 666, amen, because we just want to make sure that people are clear that the mask is not the mark of the beast. Amen. This jab, this vaccine that they got, whatever they got going on in the world, that's not the mark of the beast. The church will not be here for the six. Amen. You have so many people that are, amen, I guess they're trying to get views online and things, but we want those that are just looking for the truth, just the word, amen. The church will not be here, so we don't have to worry about that, no way. People tell me, well, am I going to have to take the mark? Amen. I had a friend of mine ask me about maybe almost a month ago. He said, is it a possibility that we could take the mark and not know that we're taking the mark, which was a great question. I said, brother, no, God don't operate like that, amen. It'll be clear. And plan. Those folks know what they're doing, amen. They're going to receive the mark, amen, because they will be delusional because they will refuse God. They have fallen away. And what the Bible says about the falling away, it don't mean that people will say, because I remember hearing a pastor say this before. I said, brother, that's incorrect teaching. The falling away is not people who are saved and then becoming unsaved. There's no such thing. That's not what the falling away is. If you look at the interpretation in the Greek, it means to rebel. What you're doing, you are refusing God. That's all the falling away is. It's a rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So it's apostasy is what it is. These are people who just like you got some of these pastors out here that are in church, and what they have seen is an opportunity to make money. I've actually heard people say that. Oh, to start me a church just to make some money. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I'm like, what? I said, brother, I said, no. And people, and you'll be shocked and surprised how many people are following pastors with that type of mentality and mindset. Yeah. They have no intent in saving anybody's soul. They just want to use and abuse. Amen. But amen. The Bible says try the spirits by the Spirit. If you try them by the Holy Spirit, amen, you'll know what type of spirit it is, and you'll know that it's not the Spirit of God. And you'll know
that
you get from under that type of preaching and pastoring, that type of service. Amen. But I want to get back to the mark of the beast, amen, because it is important that the church know that, for one, you won't even be here for that. But if you happen to hear this message, amen, you still are in doubt for whatever unknown reason, because you'd be surprised, amen, that people will hear this word, that they would have tasted the glory of God and tasted the beautiful word of God, and will turn their backs. That just amazes me, bro. They will hear the unadulterated truth. Amen. And they have a reprobate mind. Amen. And they would just walk away like, I don't believe that. Amen. They would say, I don't believe that. So if Christ was to come back in the twinkling of an eye, the next second, if he was to return and you are left here, the last thing you want to do, amen, is receive the mark of the beast. Amen. You might want to just get on them trains and let them take you to them FEMA camps and cut your head off. Amen. Amen. And receive Christ. And you better confess with your mouth. Just call on his name. Amen. We're telling you now, if you happen to hear, just receive Christ. You might want to just go and receive him, because, amen, if you don't, at last 3.5 years, if you receive the mark of the beast, amen. The Bible says, amen, that you are going to burn for all eternity. There is no escape from that. Amen. And I want to share this. Amen. I want to share this with you. This is Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 9. It says, if any man worship the beast
Yeah.
And his image.
Mm-hmm.
And receive his mark. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Amen, okay. Brother. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and
listen,
smoke
listen.
Of their torment ascended
listen.
Up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night. Now, amen, brother. Amen. And I'm not laughing at people going to the lake of fire. That's not a fun thing. Amen. I'm laughing at the fact that this is no joke. I'm laughing at how people could actually hear this and take it for a joke.
A joke.
I've spoken to people who say that they don't believe in that Jesus stuff. You don't even know if there's a heaven or hell. I told this one person, I said, you know what? I'd rather believe God and find out that there's not a heaven or hell than to not believe him and to find out that there is a hell in the lake of fire.
There you go.
Amen. Because if you don't believe him, you find out that it is real. Lord, have mercy on your soul. I just read right here when he says, and he shall be tormented with fire. Who would want to burn for you can never, brother, you just said, if you got hot water in your house somewhere, we have all, I guarantee you, every last one of us on this planet, especially as adults, have been burned some way or another, whether it would be from the stove, from an iron, from your hot
Come
water.
On,
I've been burned all three ways. And I sit and tell you right now, it is the one pain that makes you react immediately.
Immediately.
Amen. Some of us have broken bones before. And amen. And I've broken a part of my hand before. And it was a pain that at first I didn't even know my hand was broken. Amen. And you would think that when something like that happened, you would react to me. But I didn't even know until some moments later, like, man, my hand sure is hurting. My hand was just swelling up. I found out later on that I broke a part of my hand. Now, when I've got burned, hey, that's an immediate response. Amen. That's immediate pain. I didn't like that pain immediately. That fire burned. Amen. So it is the one pain that you cannot endure, that you cannot get used to. And you're going to be feeling that for all eternity with no escape, no break, no water, no snow, no freezer, ain't no breaks. You're going to feel that pain because you have rejected God, because you have sinned. And not because of what you do, but because you have simply said to yourself, I don't believe that there's a God. I don't want nothing to do with Christ. That's
Come on.
A joke. That, man, let me sit there and tell you right now, as sure, like the brother said, as that sun, that moon, and them stars are in the heaven, you can rest assured above that there's a God above us that sits on the throne. Just as you feel the wind on your face, and you can ask somebody, try to tell me, how do you know that there's a God? Well, how do you know that there's a wind? You can't see it either, but you sure can feel it. Amen. You best believe that there's a Holy Spirit. You best believe there's a God that sit on the throne. You can get smart and cute all you want. Amen. I remember when we was kids, kids used to say silly stuff like, "Was God is God so smart that he can make a boulder so heavy that he can't lift?" I said, "Yeah, that's cute." But I tell you one thing, you not believe him if you want to and go to hell into the lake of fire. And all that cuteness that you got ain't going to mean nothing when you burning for all eternity. Mm. It ain't nothing but the devil playing games with people.
No,
he got people being cute and making fun. And he got these people who are entertainers that they mock God. They think it's cute. They got this rap out here playing all this demonic stuff. They play all this demons. They mocking God. They mocking Christ. They mocking the cross. But, oh, man, I'm going to tell you right now, that's why we say that he going to burn them for all eternity. Because you want to know why? Their mind is seared. Amen? They are going to drink of the wrath of God. They are delusional.
Yeah.
Amen? And this is the mindset of people who have just turned their backs on God no matter what. They're going to serve the devil for all eternity. Amen.
Yeah.
This is what they're going to do. Amen. They don't want nothing to do with God, but amen. I'm going to turn back over to the brother. Amen. But we just want you all to receive salvation. First of all, we want you to know that we love you. Amen. This is fire and brimstone message. Amen. Some people can't handle this. Some people can't take this. Amen.
No.
And let me tell you the most simplest thing, because, amen, I've been taught by my mentor that anytime you turn down, you should always build up. Amen. And that's the truth, because we love you. This is why we have to tell you the truth. It's just like when your parents used to discipline you. Amen. It was we didn't like them whooping. Man, when my dad and mom used to get that extension cord. That's the one thing I hated was the stench of cord and the branches.
Right.
See, don't nobody want to talk like that no more. But it made us better people. It didn't kill us. We didn't die. We were better people because we got the belt, we got the stench and cord, and we got the branches off the tree. And what the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. But the Bible also said, thou shalt beatest the child with the rod. You shall what?
Yeah.
Deliver the soul from hell. See, that myth, we don't preach like that no more. You shall deliver the soul from hell. So right now we're beating you with the spiritual rod, but we are delivering your soul from hell. Because we're telling you that all you have to do to become saved, we ain't telling you to be perfect, because I ain't perfect by far. But we are simply telling you, all you got to do is, God said, you just turn to me, confess with your mouth, and believe. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. Just like you tell your wife and your husband you love them. If you confess.
Amen.
See, when you love somebody, ain't that what we do, brother? We just confess. If I love my wife and my kids,
right.
I confess. I just simply tell them because it's in my heart. I love
you.
I love you. I tell my kids before I go to bed at night, I love y'all. Because I
love you.
That's all salvation is, because you love God. You just simply confess. See, salvation, Christ took the heart. See, you said it best, brother. You said that it was the worst mistreatment in human history of any human being. And the main reason was because he was innocent. Lord, you know the worst thing to do is to give an innocent man life. Or the death sentence. That's the worst crime ever committed against humanity, is against somebody who's... See, Christ was innocent, and he received the worst beating that any man could receive. Amen.
Woo!
They was ripping his skin. It was just turning. But you said his back looked like little meat just grinded up after they beat him. See, people don't know. See, the little stuff that they show on TV, that's light stuff, what happened to him. He was unrecognizable.
Woo!
Lord have mercy. And his mama, Lord have mercy. I'm about to bring tears to my... His mama had to witness that. I couldn't imagine how his mama felt, had to sit there and see her son take that.
Woo!
You see, that's what you call real, true love. See, he died. See, that's what pastors out here preaching this false stuff, this fake stuff. They don't understand. Is that he took that for you, so all you had to do was just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
Come on, simple, tell it.
Just that easy, just that simple. That's why it's easy for us, because he took that on the cross.
He took it on the cross.
He did that for me. He did that for the reverend. He did that for all mankind. That's why the Bible says, John 3:15, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Let me read that, them verses, brother. I'm going to give it right back to you. I got to read the Spirit touching me. Let me read that real quick, and I'm going to give it back to you. Man, I'm feeling this, bro. It said that, St. John, the third chapter, verses 15, it said that whosoever believeth in him should not, perish. Do you even know what that means? That means that you will never die spiritually. That means for all eternity, you will never perish. See, people don't understand. I had a brother I talked to. Maybe about a year ago, a friend of mine put me on the phone with him to talk to him because he had a question about when I had said something on the air, when I said something about that when Christ come back to get us in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to have a brand new body. Your body going to be beautiful. Imagine, you're going to look like you better than you did when you was a teenager. And he couldn't kind of quite understand, so I had to break that down to him. I said, well, brother, well, what that means and what Paul was saying was that this gray hair that I have, I won't have it no more when Christ come back.
Mm-mm.
Amen. I'm bald head. I used to have her. Amen. When Christ come back, more likely I'm going to have her again.
Yeah,
I won't need
these
glasses. Amen. I got three pregnant. I won't need none of them.
Yeah.
So what the scripture is saying, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, means to die, to decay. We are decaying soon as we come out of our mother's womb. We are decaying. You see how beautiful babies they are. They're so soft and pretty. Even the breath smells good. They're just the most lovable thing ever. The eyes are white and pretty. But what we don't know is slowly they're what? Perishing. And as we move through life, we are, I don't have the muscles like I used to have. I'm not built and all that like I used to have. I'm older. I'm perishing.
Yeah.
But the Bible said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not only physically in your flesh, but spiritually.
Spiritually.
You won't die. But watch what it says, the opposite of it is. It says, but have eternal life. That ain't when you die.
No,
that's right now. But it's going to manifest
right
when Christ come back. We shall be what? Like him.
Like
he
him.
Said that we should not perish, but have eternal life. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his unknown son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting. What's the opposite of perish? This is why I tell people, once saved, always saved. How in the world can you receive everlasting life in this life, then you turn around and tell people that you can lose your salvation? That's contradiction of the scripture.
That's
what
right.
everlasting
That's right.
life is.
That's
everlasting
right.
means eternal. If I have something and it's eternal, how in the world can I lose it? And I've talked to so many pastors and preachers, I don't care how big their church is, and can't none of them come back with an answer to that. Because you want to know why? You can't answer the truth. You can't come back. I had a pastor tell me that, well, let me get back with you let me get back with you on that. I'm still waiting to this day. That was over 10 years ago. Still waiting for him to get back with me on that. Because you want to know why? You cannot come up against the true word of God. There's no such thing as losing your salvation. Christ died for your sin that you might be saved. That's what saved me, means that you are safe in his arms for all eternity. That's why he said, can nobody pluck you out of his hand?
To my hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Bro, let me go and give it on back to you, brother. Amen. Let me go and give it back. Amen. I ain't got happy. I ain't got joyful. Amen. The Holy Spirit then came in. I didn't start preaching. Amen. I got out of the teaching mode. Amen. But I want to share that with people that we love you.
Amen.
God loves you so much
Amen.
That he gave his only, but he made it easy and simple for you that all you have to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you got salvation. You can do it on your couch right now. You can do it in front of your TV. Brother, go ahead.
All right, brother. That's all right. That's all right. This is what we're here for. If the Holy Spirit hit you, you got to say it. If you don't say it, you'll be responsible if you don't say it.
Amen. All glory.
We're so glad that we're able to reach you out there. Those that's listening, we're not tyranny. We're not trying to draw no tyranny up.
And
make a bright night out of it. But we just want to tell you the truth. This is what's going to happen. This is
what's going
to happen. The Bible tells you what's going to happen to the righteous. It's going to tell you what's going to happen to the wicked. And it's all like that. God ain't nobody. God ain't got no special people that he going to save here and don't save there. He said, whosoever will, let him come. But we got to understand that God got a love inside. There's more love of God than anything. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His goodness endures forever. So we got an everlasting love in God. He loves you until the end. If you receive Jesus Christ, he will love you to the end. He will never leave you, neither forsake you. And then you got the wrath side of God. You got God's anger.
Amen.
you got God in anger. If there's a love side to a period of time, because after the Lord gets his people and makes a new heaven and a new earth, there won't be no more wrath of God, no more. God will never, he will not get angry no more, because he's not dealing with the devil. He's not dealing with rebellious people. He's not dealing with unbelief. He's not dealing with lying and cheat. So God got a wrath side, and he's got a loving side. And I thank God for his loving side, and I thank God for his wrath side, because if he didn't get set up, if he didn't get set up with the saints, he wouldn't be a father, because when a father knows his child is doing wrong, he's going to put the rod on him if he's a good father. So what I want to tell you now is that God has a wrath side, and the wrath side, I'm going to show you a little bit in the Bible where God got angry. I mean angry. He got angry at Cain because he rebelled. He got angry at the children of Israel. 40 years, the first generation didn't get through because they were rebellious. He got angry at Kor, rebelling against Moses. And he got so angry that he opened up the earth wide open and dropped the whole family into the burning fire and closed the earth up.
Lord have mercy.
You'll find that. I think you'll find that in Exodus. You'll find that in what Korah rebelled against Moses and told God, Moses is the boss, and I don't want Moses to be the boss, and he rebelled against the authority of Moses, and God got angry. He got angry, and he opened up the earth, and he dropped them in, his whole family and the whole poor, he dropped them into hell.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
God got angry at Israel when they took the Moabite women and Israelite men had fornication with Moabite women in the wilderness in the book of Numbers, when Balak and Balaam tried to curse children of Israel, so they couldn't curse them. So what he did, he caused them to cohabitate with the Moabite women, and the Israelite men cohabitated, and they committed sex and adultery, and God got angry, and he took 25,000 men and told them to hang them upside down in the sun. And he killed 25,000 men in one day, 25,000 men. He got angry. And then he got angry at Noah. Not Noah, but he got angry at the flood. He told them to build an ark. And they built an ark, and he gave them 125 years. And he gave them 120 years to rebuild the ark. Not rebuild it, but build an ark. And he gave them a period enough time to turn and come on the ark. They didn't turn. So God got angry and destroyed the whole world almost, except eight people. And then God got angry at a lot of other places in the word of God. And when he got angry, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God.
Amen.
Angry at the wickedness today. He's angry at the wickedness. He could have destroyed the world in the twitch of his finger in a minute.
Amen.
He could do it, and nobody could do nothing about it. Nobody couldn't go to court. Nobody couldn't go to the justice of peace, because he got angry, and nobody can stop God's angry when he get angry.
That's right.
So it's a fearful thing to fall into the angry God, and I don't want to be in the hands of an angry God.
Amen, brother.
That's in church that God is angry with. And if they don't get it together, they don't get it straight, they're going to fall under God's wrath.
That's right.
And then one of the most tragic events that happened in the Bible, and a lot of preachers don't know it, a lot of Bible students don't know it. He got angry at Jezebel. He told Jezebel, give Jezebel time enough to repent, but Jezebel wouldn't repent. She blasphemed God. She lied on God. She was treacherous. She was a treacherous woman. She was one of the most treacherous women in the Bible. She was a prostitute, 850 false prophets. She got them to bow to Baal. She got them to worship the idols. And she got them to worship sacrifice of children. And God got angry.
That's right.
And he told Jezebel to repent. Jezebel said, hell with you. I'm not going to repent. I don't know. I got my own God. And there's people today are saying the same thing. The hell with God. I ain't repenting. I'm not turning to this Christ. I'm not going to get him to give me mercy. I'm going to pony my way on up into prosperity. I'm going to pony my way on up to success and do what I want to do. But one day, God's going to get angry. God got so angry at Jezebel, he told her, the two eunuchs, to throw her off the balcony. Her body hit the wall. Her body hit the wall. She hit the ground. The chariot ran over Jezebel's body, and after the chariot ran over Jezebel's body, the bloodhounds came and ate everything that Jezebel owned except her head, her feet, and her hands, and told
That's
her
right.
to bury her in an unmarked grave because God got angry.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
And God is angry at the world today, but by his mercy, he's given man grace to correct his ways. If man don't correct his way, they're going to fall under the wrath of God.
That's
in
right.
the 17th chapter of Revelation, we see the woman whore riding on the beast. That's the false church. That's the church that's telling God to go to hell. We ain't worried
right.
about your sacrifice. We ain't talking about this holiness thing. We don't want to stop doing adultery. We gonna still kill babies. We gonna do what we wanna do. So the hell with you and the cross and the blood and the resurrection, and God's gonna get angry one day.
Right. Amen.
And he's gonna destroy the false church.
That's right.
And by him destroying the false church, me and Brother Tim is trying to warn those that's out there, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to know him now.
That's
and
right.
get your heart right with God, because in the tribulation period, God's anger is going to start rising, and yet still he's going to give us mercy. He's going to give us mercy, then wrath. It's mercy and then wrath. So let me tell you something. You got the wrong God when you think God's going to let all this go by. He's not going to let it go by. But the only
Amen.
Thing that's holding back is his mercy. And I thank God for it. I thank God for his mercy. And I thank God
right.
that he give you another day. Whoever listened to me out there, God give you another day to receive him. And then if you hear this message, if you hear the word of God coming from Brother Tim and I through the Holy Spirit, there's one thing you ought to be looking forward to, and that is repenting and going to the cross. But one thing
Amen.
About it, Jesus Christ took God's wrath on the cross. He took our sins, your sins, and nailed them to the cross, went down in the grave, came back on the third day morning, and now he can save you to the utmost. And if you know you need to be saved, you know you need to be redeemed, you know you need to quit trying to say you're going to church and church and church and church and church, because a lot of people are going to church straight to hell. Why? Because they won't stop at the cross. They won't repent and turn from their wicked ways. And let me
Amen.
Tell you, as I get ready to close, and this is going to get kind of gross now. It's going to get kind of gross right here. It's going to get real gross. Because let me tell you, if one sinner could get to heaven, he wouldn't like it. Because it's too holy. It's too righteous. If an unbeliever could get to heaven, he wouldn't like it. He'll tell him, get me out of here. I can't take it. It smells too good. I can't take
Amen.
It. I can't take all this holiness and this brightness and this is love that's up there. I can't take it. Get me out. Now I'm going to get gross. There's one nasty insect that I hate, and that's a fly.
Amen.
I hate a fly so bad. If I see one, I'm going to try to kill it. If I see one, I'm going to put up some stickers on the wall so he'll light on it and get stuck, because I get tired of him buzzing around my head. Because I know where he was before he got there. And
Amen.
Flies don't hang around nothing but rottenness. If you want a bunch of flies, take some dead fish and put it in a garbage can
mm-hmm.
and let it sit for 5 days and open the garbage can.
Ooh.
And I can't before the day is over, you'll have a bunch of flies in the garbage can lighting
That's
and
right.
making more flies, because it's a filthy insect.
That's
now,
right.
You know who else is filthy? You know who else is filthy? Against the holy God, the human race is filthy.
That's
it's
right.
filthy. It's filled with sin and killing and murdering and rape and homosexuality.
That's right.
Pornography. It's filled with cursing and bitterness and all kind of wicked stuff, and only a fly hanging around stinky stuff. Sinners hang around sinners. But saints do not hang around sinful people.
That's right.
Why?
Amen.
Because they believe in holiness. And holiness can only come from Jesus Christ. And they'll fly, but if you want to get rid of the flies, go down to the grocery store. Go down to the hard store and get you some Lysol. And take some hot water and wash that can out through and through with some Lysol and open it wide open and see how many flies you can catch in one day. You ain't going to catch none, because when that fly lights on that garbage can, he will sense that disinfect and he will fly away. And if he come back, the only reason to come back is you put something stinky in the garbage can. So what I'm trying to tell you, ain't no stinky sinner going to enter the kingdom of God. Ain't
that's right.
No
Amen.
Work gonna get you to the kingdom of God. Ain't nothing on this planet, no other salvation can receive from nothing but Jesus Christ to sanctify your soul and make it clear and pure and righteous, just like the soul of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So a lot of
Amen.
People out there playing what? They're playing fly around the roses. And some church folks flying around the church. This is filthy, dirty, low down, cutthroat, pride, selfishness, and they talking about going to hell. And then they try to judge somebody else going to hell. But let me tell you, you're not my judge and jury, and I ain't got no heaven or hell to put you in. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend, if I get ready to close and we get ready to go off the air, I want to tell you one thing. Before you leave here, before you leave this planet, before you leave this broadcast, you ought to have up in your mind to be made saying, Lord, I'm a dirty fly. And I like to hang around beer joints. I like to hang around prostitution. I like to hang around drugs. I like to, you hanging around that, you're a dirty fly. You're a sinful
Amen.
Fly. You ain't big as a fly. And you flying around on this planet, just as small as one of the smallest species on the planet. Amen. And you are rejecting the only way that you can escape the damnation of hell. And the only
right.
people that will be in hell is the unregenerated denials of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Don't go to hell. Please don't. We love you. Brother Tim and I love you. And we're not doing this for prestige. We're not doing this for money. In fact, you can take your money and, you know, shove it up a tube somewhere. I'm not worried about your money. I'm not worried about how much education you got. I ain't worried
That's
about
right.
how much what you promise for tomorrow. Because you never know. You're dying. People are dying like flies, young and old. And you ought to make up your mind now. Do you want this world or do you want Jesus? Do you
That's
want
right.
to have a good time and party and drink and get drunk and have sex and sex orgies and all kinds of things that's pleasurable? Do you want to do that and then die and go to hell? Or do you want to forsake the world and the evils of the world and receive Christ and go to heaven?
Right.
Brother Tim,
Amen.
Heaven is something I can't explain. Heaven is something I tremble at the gold that's going to be there. I tremble at the brightness. I tremble at to see the throne of God. I tremble at to see the face of God. I tremble at to see the crucified one, to touch
right.
him. Ooh, it excites me. To touch his hand. I'm going to examine him from eternity from now on. I'm going to examine him now. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to examine Christ and look at his face. Woo!
Yes,
Thank
Lord.
You, Jesus. Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. You didn't have to save me. You could have let me die and go to hell, but you love me so much. Not only
That's
do you
right.
love me, but
Amen.
You love me. You love the ugly and the pretty and the righteous and the unrighteous. You love everybody, and you proved it. You when you died on that cross and you come back from the grave, you proved that your love is far beyond any woman, any man, any
That's
child
right.
can give. It's so wonderful to know that you love me so much. And there's somebody out there listening to this radio broadcast. You know you need some love. And I'm not talking about that carnal love. I'm not talking about that love of lust. I'm talking about divine love. Divine love is out of sight, brother. Woo!
Amen. That's right, doctor. That's
divine
right.
Divine love means that if I fail on my faith and mess up, God still loves me.
That's right.
Woo! If I'm saved, God still loves me because it's unconditional
right.
love. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, God still loves you, but he cannot love you like he want to love you because you won't love him and give your life to him. And if you don't give your life to him, then he cannot save you. And if he save you, listen, if you don't want him to save you, guess what? If you leave this planet without salvation, you got to go to hell. That's it.
Amen.
There's nowhere else you can go. You can't go to Alaska. You can't go to Timbuktu. You can't go crying to your mom and daddy. You can't go take a bucket of water with you to hell with you. You can't go and think you have enjoyment. Please, please, pretty please, repent. Turn from your wicked thoughts, your wicked ways, your wicked attitude. Stop thinking that you can do your own thing and then expect God to accept it. He won't accept nothing but holiness. And when you have
faith in
him and accept him, that's holiness. And holiness says that you are willing enough to repent and turn from the Lord and Savior, turn to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the devil wants you to go to hell with him because that's where he go. I guess he's going to hell. I can be the judge, the jury, and everything else.
Yeah.
He's going to hell. And every imp, every demon that followed him from hell, I can be the judge on that. He's going to hell. He's going to burn for eternity. And he wants you to go with him. Well, I made up my mind. I ain't going with you. I ain't thinking about you.
Amen.
I'm going to a place where I can really enjoy life.
Yes, sir.
Tell the folks how to come on and get Christ. The time is late. The time is late. And we ain't got no time to be playing around. Somebody out needs to know Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Amen. That's it, brother. Amen. That was beautiful, brother. Amen. I have really enjoyed, being on the air with you, brother. Amen. I thank you so much for this opportunity. Amen. We pray that we are reaching as many souls as we possibly can to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful, joyous time. Amen. I tell people, and I'm going to try to say this as quick as I can, that going to heaven is not going to be tedious at all. Amen. And the reason that I say that, if you think about Adam, what did God tell Adam to do? Just go and see the earth. That's it. All Adam had to do was just be Adam. That's it. It was just that simple. Adam had it made. Amen. Until he disobeyed God. He had it made. That's all you're going to be doing in heaven is walking around praising him. You're going to want to praise him after going through what we go through, seeing what we see and knowing what we know. Man, heaven is going to be so beautiful. You're going to just be singing. You ain't going to be – that's all you're going to want to do is walk around beautiful heaven, enjoy your spiritual gifts that you're going to get for all eternity, and just give him all the praise and the glory. Now, tell me what could be possibly hard about that, brother. Amen. It's not going to be tedious at all. It's not going to be something that you're going to get tired of. Man, you're going to look at the glory. God said, man, I can't believe that he blessed me to see. See, Satan was already in heaven. He already knows what was there. But we're going to get a new heaven and a new – he's going to recreate everything. Oh, man, it's going to be so beautiful and immaculate. The things that – you're going to be so beautiful yourself. But the greatest gift that you're going to receive, amen, the greatest gift that you're going to receive is eternal life. You're going to get to live for all eternity.
All eternity.
Man,
all eternity.
No worry, no fear. You don't want to ever have to be afraid. No darkness. It will never be dark. No moon or star. It's going to be nothing but brightness, his glory for all eternity.
All eternity.
And that's all we want for you. And I want to share this before we go off the air real quick. If I can get there real quick, Ephesians. I want you to know that salvation is by faith and not by works. That's Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to try to get that real quick before we go off the air. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to read it real quick. It says verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's a gift. It's free. A gift is free. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." That's it. Amen. Brother, I'm done. That's it. It's a gift.
God bless you.
When I give my kid the... God bless you, brother. Amen. Go ahead.
God
Amen.
Bless you and your family and those that's listening. I hope there's somebody listening out there that got the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Accept Him as Lord and Savior. And
Amen.
Then you don't go away to heaven because the rapture is soon